Today, we will read Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 30. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, I pray that as we spend time reading your word, that, Lord, you would use it to guide our lives. Lord, use it to show us more about who you are. Increase our faith, increase our understanding, and help us, Lord. Lord, just guide us and direct us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 30. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. Turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves, because they had not been baptized by John. All right, in today's reading, we see several stories. The first one is the story of the centurion whose servant was sick. Now, a centurion was actually a soldier who was in charge of a large company. Centurion actually comes from the word that would mean 100. And so he was a leader of a group of 100 Roman soldiers. He had an important position. And so this centurion was not a Jew, but he was living among them in Capernaum. Now, the people, the Jewish people there, actually liked him because he was very kind to them. He was good to them. He helped them. And because of that, he had a servant who was sick. And he asked the elders of the Jews to go and ask Jesus to heal his servant. And so Jesus agreed. Now, as Jesus is going to the centurion's house, the centurion sends messengers saying, "You don't need to come. I am not worthy of you coming to me. But all you need to do is just say, 'Be healed,' and he will be healed." You see, the centurion understood authority, understood power. He had authority and power in his position. All he had to do was give the word, say something to his servants, and they would do it. In the same way, he knew that Jesus didn't have to even be there. He just had to say the word, and it would happen. Jesus was amazed at his faith. And so, Jesus said, it will be done. Let him be healed. And he was, didn't even have to go there. Jesus was showing his power and authority. And all around, people heard about it and were amazed. Another time, Jesus was going into a town and saw a funeral procession. They were carrying a young man out to be buried. And he was the only son of his mother. His mother was already a widow. So he was all that she had left. He felt compassion on her and went, touched what they were carrying him on, and said, "Get up." And he did. This man who was dead was brought back to life by Jesus. All the people were amazed. Wow. Just look at what he is doing. And so, in the middle of all of this, John the Baptist has been arrested. He is in prison. And he sends his followers to Jesus to ask, is he the one? Is he the one that they have been waiting for? Remember, John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, but he was the man that God had chosen to be the prophet who came before Jesus. John the Baptist was the one that God chose to go out and prepare the people to listen, learn, and obey and follow Jesus. So, John the Baptist sends his servants to say, "Are you the one, or should we look for someone else?" Now, it's interesting, Jesus does not directly answer them. Instead, he says, "Go back, tell John what you have seen. The blind can see. The lame, people who can't walk, they can walk. People who have leprosy, a skin disease, they're cleansed, they're clean. The deaf can hear. Dead are raised back to life. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor." He doesn't say, "Yes, I am the one." Instead, he gives this list of things that are happening. Why? Because these were signs that the promised one had come. These things showed and proved who Jesus was. They showed everyone that Jesus was who he claimed to be. At the end of this passage, it's interesting. Many believe and follow. They were the ones who had followed John. And what was it that John had said? When these people were baptized by John, what exactly was that? Well, John was teaching and preaching repentance, to turn away from your sin and seek after God. This baptism was a way of publicly saying, "I have sinned and I need God. I acknowledge that I have sinned and I am turning to God to follow after God." Many people had repented and acknowledged that they needed God, that they were not right with God, that they had committed sins and needed God's forgiveness. But there were some who hadn't. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were too proud. They didn't want to admit that they had committed sins. They didn't want to commit that they had broken God's laws. And so they refused to listen and follow John because they were proud. They wanted everyone to think that they were perfect, that they didn't need to change, that they didn't need to follow God, that they are already there. The problem was, they also needed to acknowledge their need for God. And because they refused to do that, they had closed their eyes, and they were not able to see who Jesus was. They were not able to see what Jesus was doing. That Jesus was doing everything that God had said the promised Messiah would do. But they were too proud to admit they needed him, and so they just didn't recognize him. What about you? Are you willing to admit that you need God? That you need Jesus? Or are you like one of the Pharisees, proud, saying, "No, I can do it on my own"? You must come to a place where you realize we as humans cannot do enough good things to please God. I cannot do enough good to earn God's favor. I cannot do enough good things to earn my way to heaven. I need God. I need Jesus. I need him to come and heal my sick and sinful soul. I need him to come and bring my spirit back to life, just like he brought this dead man back to life. My soul is dead inside of me, and I need Jesus to bring it back to life so that I can truly understand and listen and follow and obey him. I need him to give me a new life inside, a new life that allows me to bear that good fruit, to build my life on him, a new life that allows me to follow him and obey. I can't do that on my own. I need Jesus, and so do you. Lord, I pray that you would be with us today. Help us to understand our need of you. Give us faith to trust you and follow you, and to see what you are doing in our lives and in the world around us, and to have faith and follow you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.